It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Manning back, steps up, heaves one down the middle of the field, into the end zone, and Mitch makes the catch for the touchdown! He went up with the big hands and caught it on the Hail Mary!
Boots one, returnable for Williams from his own 20. Lost the ball, and the Giants say they have it, and they do! Devin Thomas recovered it, but the rookie Jaquan Williams punched it out.
Manning out of the shotgun set, he's back to throw. Finds the pocket, deep ball down the left sideline, and it's going to be caught. Was he inbounds? Yes! Manningham on the sideline. Brady's under pressure, Brady's chased, Brady heaves one. Down the middle of the field, into the end zone, a jump ball, and it's incomplete, and the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46!
Now here are your hosts, Anita Marks and Paul Dottino.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks, Paul Dottino, and you. Today we're with you for an hour. 1 hour, Pauly D.
1 hour.
1 hour.
The expanded edition. I love it.
I don't know if people are going to be able to take Pauly D for an hour, but we're gonna work it out. We're going to work it out. Again, Big Blue Kickoff Live, all things social media. If you're listening to the show, you've got a question or comment for myself or Paul Dottino, make sure you include that hashtag Giants Chat. Also, the phone lines are open, 201-939-4513. Again, 201-939-4513. And let's say you're listening to the show and it's Labor Day, so a lot of people are not working. We, in fact, are, but some people are not. Maybe you want to jump in your car and go pick up some coffee. Dunkin' Donuts, who knows? That's what Pauly D is drinking right now. And you can listen to us on your mobile app. So make sure you download Giants on your mobile app. It's a free application, and you can take the show with you anywhere you go. Again, 201-939-4513, talking all things Giants as they get ready for not only their season opener, but the NFL season opener against the Dallas Cowboys here at MetLife Stadium on Wednesday night. A lot of excitement around the facility. Players practiced yesterday. They're back at it again today. They'll have a light day, if not a day at all, on Tuesday, getting ready for Wednesday night showdown. And so we're going to break down a lot of the matchups, talk about a lot of the players. We're also going to hear from defensive coordinator Perry Fuel, offensive coordinator Kevin Gilbride, Justin Tuck, who leads that defense. Pin those ears back and go after that Tony Romo quarterback from the Dallas Cowboys. We'll hear from him as well. So we've got some players sound ready to go for you. We're monitoring Twitter. Our phone lines are open. It's myself and Paul Dottino, and we've already got some callers on, Paul. But how are you feeling today? You ready to do this?
Well, you know, I was thinking about this, Anita, and, you know, I don't like to get discombobulated with non-Sunday games. They really just mess up my entire week. But then I started to think about this. We get to have our opening night 3 days before everybody else does.
Right.
How cool is that? Everybody else has to wait till Sunday, but we get to go to a game on one Wednesday night.
Well, in my opinion, I feel the Giants are probably most deserving of that, no?
No, well, no
they
doubt.
They won the Super Bowl?
No doubt. As
they're,
the champs.
They're back to defend their title?
Yeah.
The pregame is going to be spectacular. So, by the way, for folks out there who are listening, your plans to come to the stadium, make sure you get there early. Because the Giants have some really exciting stuff planned for you. Big celebration. Get you pumped up. Get the players pumped up before the game. So make sure you make it out to MetLife Stadium early. Also, stop by. Myself, Jeff Fiegels, Paul Dottino will be hosting your pregame show, which will air on WFAN radio network, the Giants network as well. And we'll have a stage right outside the Verizon Gate. So we want to remind you, please, as you make your way into the stadium, come by, say hi. We're going to have a lot of fan interaction, and check us out as we do the pregame show live from the stadium.
Yeah, just hold off on the rain, okay? Because they're talking about rain.
Is it really?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, heavy rain Wednesday morning into showers in the nighttime. So I'm hoping not, because it's going to be a bash, but we'll see.
Interesting. All right, so 201-939-4513. A lot to get to, but phone lines are already rock and rolling. I love it, because I had some concerns coming in this morning saying, wow, Pauly and I, we're going to be hosting this hour-long show. Are people even going to be up? Because it is Labor Day, but look, we've already got a ton of calls. Let's kick it off in Springfield. Chris wants to talk about the NFC. Chris, welcome.
Hello, hello, Anita.
Hi.
Hello, Paul. How are you guys doing today?
Hi.
Quick question. Well, I got two questions. My first question is, on the Giants, other than staying healthy this year, do you think and winning the division, do you think their main concern should be trying to get the number one seed in NFC and having the playoffs go through Giants Stadium? And the second question is Reuben Randle. I read online that Dominique Hickson is a number three wideout, and I was wondering, from what I saw in preseason, he looked pretty good, man. I think he should be the number three receiver this year. Thank you, guys.
All right, well, let's take this one at a time. Anita, you know how I feel about Reuben Randle, so I'll start with him.
Man crush.
Well, look, the guy's got all the tools.
Toe pick.
Now, here's what I will
Man
say,
crush.
Though. Right now, Dominique Hickson is the number three. Kevin Gilbride, the offensive coordinator, has said as much, and that's no surprise. Hickson has been with Eli longer than any of the other receivers on this roster, and so he's comfortable with him. They've got a chemistry. Hickson runs good routes. He's got good hands, good size, still has good speed despite two ACL surgeries. So I've got no problem with Hickson being number three. I think that's fine. At some point, Randle will probably take that job. Now, it may not even be this season if Hickson continues to produce like we know he can. It might not be till next year, but that's okay. Because you know what? There are going to be times when the Giants go four wides. And when they go four, you'll probably see Randle out there. He'll get his shots.
Yes, yes. But again, and I know that we're kind of we're beating a dead horse. We're a broken record over here. But both of us are real big fans of Kevin Gilbride's.
Yeah.
And Kevin Gilbride's offensive playbook is probably longer than War and Peace. So, you know, you got to give these young men an opportunity to really understand and digest the system. And correct me if I'm wrong, Polly. The system, Eli calls a play. It's not like your normal in a normal NFL system. Guys come to the huddle. Romo, I'm just using that as an example. I don't know how their offense operates, but Romo calls a play. Dez Bryant goes to the line of scrimmage, and he knows either he's going to run a 9, which is a fly, and an 8 that's a post, a 7 that's a post corner, whatever his route tree number that was called, that's what he's going to run. Now, if Romo audibles from the line of scrimmage, Romo will audible and tell him what to run. In Kevin Gilbride's system, everybody who goes to the line of scrimmage is supposed to be on the same page as Eli Manning, and they're supposed to read the defense the same way that Eli's reading the defense, and they are to innately, am I using that word correctly, change their route and with fingers crossed that it's the same route that Eli is expecting that wide receiver to run based on the same defense that they are reading. So, you know, it is a much more difficult offense. There's a lot more asked of you, not only learning the playbook and knowing how to run the right routes, but also executing them properly based on the defense you read when you walk up to the line of scrimmage. There's a lot of teams in the NFL that don't require that from their wide receivers.
Most don't, not just a lot.
Right.
Basically, your wide receiver has to have the mentality of a quarterback. And that's a very, very difficult thing to do, especially if you're trying to get so many guys on the same page. The other comment, though, from the guy was he wanted to know about the Giants trying to gun for the number one spot in the NFC to get home field advantage throughout
the playoffs. That's going to come down to the last week of the season.
I mean, let's put it this way. This is going to be a very difficult division. So, you know, I'm going to tell you now, I have the Giants at 10-6. I have them winning the NFC East. But Having said that, 10 wins is not going to get you the number one seed in the conference. And quite honestly, based on what we've seen from this Giants team, they don't need to be home to advance through the postseason. So does it really make that much of a difference?
Well, I think it does make a difference, but I think you're right, Paul. The NFC East is arguably one of the most competitive divisions in all of professional sports. Across the board, in all of professional sports. So this is a division that they just beat up on one another. And so, look, Philadelphia's gotten better. Dallas has gotten better. Granted, they're dealing with some injuries and some issues there. I think Jason Witten is a huge concern going into this game for the Dallas Cowboys.
They're going to find out tomorrow if he can go.
He's Romo's security blanket. And I'm a huge RG3 fan. I love this young man. I think he immediately makes that Washington Redskins team even better. Let's go to Lynn in Maryland. Lynn, welcome.
Hey, guys. Happy Labor Day.
Same to you.
Well, it being Labor Day, I guess I want to talk labor issues, that is employment. By my count, and I'm not sure this is accurate, this was a quick assessment here, I think we've got 16 new players or different players on the final 53 for this year that weren't there on Super Bowl Sunday.
That's correct.
That's about 30%. That's actually quite a lot of turnover. Of course, you can temper that number a little bit. You know, a couple of guys are on the pup list, Beckham and Canty, who were on the 53 on, you know, Super Bowl Sunday. And we had a couple of guys off of injured reserve. But
yes,
still, 16 new players is indeed a lot of players. It's quite a profession. People come and go pretty quickly. And, you got to feel badly for a lot of people out of work.
The average lifespan, I believe, Anita, correct me if I'm wrong here, it's still only a bit over 3.25 seasons.
Yeah.
I think that's still the number.
That's probably a bit short of pension also.
It's unbelievable.
I don't know what the pension number is, but 3.25 sounds kind of quick. I'm not sure that, that average gets pensioned.
Well, of course, you got a lot of guys too who only have a cup of coffee, and that kind of skews the average a little bit. I don't know what the average length of time is in the league for starters. I'm sure that's a little bit longer, but your point is well taken. I mean, the Giants have what could be classified as a significant turnover for a defending Super Bowl champion. At the same time, how odd is this? Even with all that turnover, they basically have the same starting lineup on both sides of the ball, which is also very rare.
Yeah, that's true. You know, and as highly rated as I had them, Paul and Anita, it was kind of interesting to me that only one player from that final cut got picked up by somebody else, that being D.J. Ware.
Yes.
And,
Buccaneers.
I kept thinking, oh, man, we're so loaded, there's going to be 6 or 7 guys who are going to find jobs elsewhere. Even Mitch Petras, got cut, sat around for about 12 hours, and got a job back with the Giants. And, you know, on that score, Paul and Anita, just a real quick one, you got to feel badly for a guy named DJ Jones who gets cut in Philadelphia, a team that thought he was healthy but couldn't play, and the Giants pick him up thinking he can play, but he's not healthy. And here he is out on the street. You would think that there's some sort of severance for a guy like that, but I don't think there is. And that's kind of sad that the Eagles would go to that extent and, not put him on IR or wave him injured or something.
Well, we got to go, but I will only say this. I don't know what exactly it was that failed his physical here with the Giants. I hope for his sake that he's okay and obviously that he can continue his NFL career. Anita, the only thing I wanted to say about one point he made, the guys who were cut here, I thought Dwayne Hendricks had a very good preseason, the defensive tackle out of Miami.
Right.
In fact, I think in the last game against the Patriots, he had like 9 tackles, including one down inside the 5-yard line. He played very well.
Right, but Adewale, Ajomo.
The Giants felt they needed to keep not only Ajomo on the outside, but they decided to keep Tracy despite his hamstring injury, which forced him out of half of the preseason games. They went with the extra defensive end instead of taking the extra defensive tackle. And I thought that Hendricks would get scapped up by somebody. Surprisingly, he is still out there on the street. I think if the Giants go long-term with their defensive tackles being hurt. Now, Austin says he's feeling really good. He's hoping to be back at first or second game of the season. If they continue to have trouble at that spot, I wouldn't be surprised if Hendricks came back. He played well.
201-939-4513. You're listening to Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks and Paul Dottino. Let's go to Brick, New Jersey. Sean wants to talk about the Giants' weaknesses. Sean, welcome.
Good morning. How are the both of you?
Great.
I first want to say I'm excited to see the Giants' offense this year. They added great weapons, but my big concern is the defense. The front four is amazing how many things that they can put in and out, but it's the back seven that really scares me. What parts do you think is really the weakness of the team, of the defense?
The back seven scares you, so the linebackers aren't making you smile these days?
You know what, Paul?
Not really.
Sean, thank you for the phone call. I appreciate it. And there are other people out there who feel the same way you do. I did a hit interview on a radio station. I want to say it was Friday or Saturday, and that was that they posed the question. You know, the defensive line is great. There's concerns with the secondary because the injuries that have taken place with Terrell Thomas and Prince, but you know, now another year, Giants are, have been known, their history, their linebacking core, always stellar. This year, that's got to be a huge concern. And I said, what are you talking? Have you been watching the Giants this preseason? Keith Rivers has been an absolute steal for Jerry Reese and the Giants against the Cincinnati Bengals. You know, you've got Kiwi, you've got Herzlick, who just exudes football player and has had a fantastic year. You've got Jaquan Williams kind of hanging out, coming in when he's needed. Chase Blackburn, Boley Fields. I mean, like, I'm not saying that this is the best linebacking core in the NFL, but they're, I'd say they're one step above average.
Well, I think they're probably among the deepest linebacking cores in the NFL.
Deepest is different than being good.
Well, right now, you know, until...
I just got props from Melroy for that statement.
Well,
but
I understand. I mean,
give them a grade. Give them. I'm going to put Pauly D on the hot seat. Give this linebacking core a grade compared to the other linebacking cores, the other 31 linebacking cores in the
NFL. I'd say right now they are clearly in the top 10, which would be the top third of the league. And they could be a lot higher than that if the young guys continue to develop during the course of the season. I mean, all we see are ups on Herzlick and Jaquan Williams.
Right.
And you know, even Paisinger barely made this team as the seventh linebacker. We know he can play, Anita. We've seen him.
Absolutely. I'm with you.
There are teams who would love to have him right now on their team.
I'm with you. I think there are a number of Giants fans that are underestimating this linebacking core. I think this is the best linebacking core since this is my third year covering the team. This is the best linebacking core since I've been here.
It's probably the best in at least a decade.
Okay. That's fair. That's fair. 201. That I'm sure that made Giants fans happy to hear you say that.
201. I've been around a long time now.
939-4513. Let's go to Alan calling in for Virginia. He wants to talk about my boy David Douglas.
What's going on with my man David Douglas?
Oh, I love this kid. I am so thrilled. You have no idea. All I did, I was playing golf on Friday, and all I did, I wasn't allowed to have a cell phone on the golf course, so I snuck it in my bag. And every 15 to 20 minutes, I was like sneaking it from my caddy, and I was like monitoring Twitter to see if David Douglas had been picked up by anyone. And finally, Ralph Facciano, I follow him on Twitter, who covers the team. He said that that Douglas had been seen in the facility and that he had passed through waivers and that he was going to make it onto the practice squad. And I like screamed at the top of my lungs on the golf course. Everyone told me to shut up. And that's my David Douglas story. So I'm thrilled that he's on this practice squad. He's young. There's a lot of talent there, and there's a lot of potential for him to be a very good wide receiver in the NFL.
I think you answered his question.
Did
he's gone.
Is he gone? is he there? Hi.
I'm here. My second question was, wanted to see how Hickson versus Barden, like who will do better in that position?
What Hickson versus? I mean, this is a question for you. Have you watched Dominic Hickson play?
Thinking about David Douglas not being there, I want to see who will be the man. You know, who will do the job.
You know what's interesting, Paul? And hey, thank you for the phone call. I appreciate it. I love the love we're getting from the Maryland, Virginia, D.C. area. Right?
That's cool.
I think because Dominic Hickson has been out of commission for the past 2 years,
yeah, people
Paul,
forget.
People forget. Let me tell you something about Dominic Hickson. He is a legit number three wide receiver, not only on this roster, but on anyone else's roster, and potentially borderline number two. I'll tell you that. I'll tell you what. If he played for example, if he was right now playing for the Tampa Bay Bucks, he'd be number two over Mike Williams playing opposite Vincent Jackson.
He would.
Do you know what I mean? Like, the reason that he's number three on this roster is because of Victor Cruz. So don't underestimate Dominic Hickson. He's a leader. He's a team player. He runs great routes. Eli loves him. Eli depends on him. He is going to make this wide receiving core even better. Even better.
I think the year before he hurt his ACL the first time, or maybe it was between the first. Yeah, I think it was the first, before the first time. He caught like 43 balls, if I'm not mistaken. That's just my memory now, trying to rack those numbers up. This guy can produce. I mean, he's a good player. He's a real bona fide NFL player. As far as Ramsey's Barden, well, he had a struggle, you know, through another difficult preseason until the final two games when he solidified himself on the roster. I don't see the comparison when you look at the productivity.
201-939-4513. We go to Tim in Jackson, New Jersey. Tim.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you, Tim?
I'm here. I got a question for you.
Sure.
Will Mocky Nix play on Wednesday against the Cowboys in the season opener at home?
He says he will. You know, he's coming off of that off-season foot surgery, and it is a bit sore, and the coaches rested him yesterday simply because, you know, they don't want to push him. But Nix is promising us that he is going to face the Cowboys. And, you know, hey, we all know what he can do. Even though he's only had limited practices, Anita, the guy understands the game.
I thought it was funny. Yesterday, he did not practice. So as soon as he kind of made his way to his locker, the media just like all flew over there to kind of, and he just turned, he says, I've got two words for you. I'm playing.
That's it.
I'm playing. Doesn't matter I didn't practice today. I'm playing on Wednesday night against the Dallas Cowboys. So that's all I needed to hear. I turned around and walked away.
That's it. We're done.
Right?
Got it.
Thank you very much. Move along. Nothing to see here. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Ray in Baltimore. Wants to talk about the Giants approach.
Hey, what's going on? It's Roy, actually, but it's okay.
Okay, I'm sorry. I read Ray. I apologize.
No, it's okay. No, basically, you know, I'm a big Giants fan. I've been watching Giants like since I was old enough to even play football. I'm just looking at the talent they have now in the squad, you know, as an overall package. I mean, they have a very good chance of going back and, you know, repeating the Super Bowl, you know, again. It's just the fact that, like, what kind of approach that they're going to have, you know, given the fact they had David Wilson as that good addition to that running back, you know, that running back core that they have. You know, I just want to know what kind of approach that they, you know, have this year.
Well, Tom Coughlin adopted the mantra of build the bridge because he wants everybody to understand that the Giants won the last six games of the year last season en route to winning the Super Bowl, and that if they do the things that they did then, there's no reason why they can't contend for the title again this season. But if they play like the team that was 7-7, and we all know that there were a lot of injuries involved in that as well, then they're going to struggle this year. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt about that. The stark contrast between the two teams was really very, very descriptive. And Tom Coughlin has gone out of his way to make sure his team understands that.
Well, it was interesting. After practice yesterday, that question was posed again to head coach Tom Coughlin about build the bridge. And he had to explain it. I think at one point, didn't we host a show when that was first announced? Like some other, you had a different slogan.
Don't look back is what I proposed, but it didn't make the cut.
No.
No.
Because actually this slogan is looking back.
It is, which is unlike Tom Coughlin.
Right.
He doesn't usually look back, but so be it.
201-939-4513. Again, also we are on Twitter. I'm monitoring Twitter as we host the show, and we want to hear from Giants fans. I can't even imagine. You must be so stoked, so pumped, like already ordered your keg for Wednesday night. Dallas Cowboys, now is the time to call on the show. We're talking all things matchup with the Dallas Cowboys. Make sure you include that hashtag GiantsChat. When you do, send us a message on Twitter. We're taking your calls, and calls are just coming in. Fast and furious. So we'll continue with the calls. We also have some Perry Fuel, Kevin Gilbride, Justin Tuck, and Tony Romo sound to play for you. But if the calls continue like this, Polly, we're gonna right? It's the fan. This show's for the fans.
I'm telling you, it's like a PBS fun drive. The phones won't stop ringing.
Okay, let's go to Jeff calling in from Rhode Island. Jeff, welcome.
Morning, folks. Happy Labor Day.
Good morning.
I'm ready to see the Giants pound rolling into the ground a few times and send Jerry Jones back to Dallas, Texas with a big frown on his face. Nothing could make me happier. My question is concern about the offensive line and getting the running game going, and I didn't see a whole lot of production out of them in the preseason. And secondly, I didn't see many balls thrown to the tight ends during the preseason as well. I was just wondering, could that possibly be by design to have people blocking for the running game, or what's your thought on that?
Well, I think the first thing that we need to discuss is the running game, which really had a lot of troubles during the preseason, especially the power running game. Didn't see much of that at all until game four against the Patriots, when Andre Brown was able to churn out some yardage between the tackles. David Wilson is awesome when he gets off tackle and to the outside, but Inside, he did not have a lot of success during those exhibition games. As far as the tight ends are concerned, we did see Martellus Bennett catch a lot of passes up in Albany. He looked really, really good, had a terrific camp, and I thought had a good preseason. The only pass he didn't grab was one that was high and behind him. Eli Manning made him twist in the middle of the field, and Bennett could not come down with it. I mean, I'd love to see him come down with it, but it was a tough grab, and he couldn't do it. I have a lot of confidence right now that Martellus Bennett has the kind of talent that could make him a dynamic player in this offense. Whether or not he and Eli get that chemistry going, it remains to be seen, but he has made a cognizant effort to kind of buddy up to Eli so that he will have the same type of relationship that Witten has with Romo in Dallas.
So over under how many text messages Martellus Bennett has sent Eli Manning this preseason?
If I were him, I'd probably be up at around 350 by now.
I asked him yesterday. I did an interview, an insider interview with him. Hopefully it'll be up on the site today. But I asked him yesterday, how often do you, what do you text him? He's like, oh, good practice. You know what I mean? Really?
Hey.
Good. Hey,
If it's going to get him the ball, right? How can you knock it?
Right. I think he said something he'll be home and he'll be thinking about a certain play and then he'll text him hey, I really like that play. I think it'd work if X, Y, and Z.
Well, I think about our show all the time, right? So it's what we do.
You're so funny.
All right.
I think it's cool though.
Next up.
I really like Martellus Bennett. He's a different breed, but a black unicorn.
Very flamboyant. I mean, that's really the way I describe
him. But he's good people. He's got a good heart. You know what I mean? Even though he's kind of off the beaten path in regard to the kind of players that are in that locker room, I think you kind of see that he's a good guy.
And ultimately, he gets it because it's really about production. He could joke all he wants. If he doesn't get it done on the field, it won't matter.
And another thing I wanted to make a point is, keep in mind, preseason games, teams don't show their hands.
Oh, it's vanilla.
It's very vanilla. So stay tuned. I really do believe that Martellus Bennett is going to have a really great year here with the Giants. I think him and Eli are really going to do some great stuff.
I could see 40 catches.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Melroy wants more. With these receivers? Because I got news for you. As much as I think Bennett's a good player, if Eli is checking off of Nix or Cruz or Hickson or Randall to throw it to Martellus Bennett too often, there is a problem.
Let's go to Seacant calling in from New Jersey. Seacant, welcome.
Srikant, actually. Hi. Nice to talk to you. So just I have a couple of questions on the offensive line, the quality of the folks protecting Eli Manning, because Eli performed tremendously under pressure in the NFC Championship game in San Francisco last year. Especially, I mean, he got hammered like crazy, but he stood up and delivered. Now, that's something every quarterback needs to have, right? Like Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay and Tom Brady. I mean, they have good protection. So just wanted to see the relative protection that Eli gets from his left tackle.
You're talking about Sean Locklear.
Has a tendency to get injured.
Yeah, you're talking about Sean Locklear right now, because Beatty has himself a bad back. Now, he did practice the last couple of days, and the Giants are not sure whether or not he's going to be able to start for them on Wednesday night. But at the moment, Locklear's holding down the position. Anita is well aware of my critiques of Sean Locklear throughout the preseason. He got better. There is no question that he got better. And at this moment, if he's got to start at left tackle, Kevin Gilbride's going to have to put faith in him. Fortunately for the Giants, as I said, he's a veteran. He does understand what he's got to do. It's all about the talent limitations at this stage of his career. He's been in the league for about a decade or so. But he did get better during the preseason.
Now, again, offensive coordinator Kevin Gilbride and defensive coordinator Perry Fuel addressed the media yesterday. Melroy, let me know when that's ready. Okay. So since we're talking about the offensive line, and obviously that's a huge concern going into this first game, let alone going into the season because of Will Beatty and his back and his sciatic problems. This is Kevin Gilbride talking about the offense and more specifically Sean Locklear.
In the two games you played them last year, I think Hakeem and Victor combined for something like 500 yards receiving. Yep. I mean, obviously, the changes at corner seemingly would prevent that. But, I mean, do you sit there and say, stop us? You know, we've done this. Yoshi can stop us.
Well, it's funny. The first game, they had a very different approach than what they did the second game. I mean, you have your base defense, but they committed very much to a lot of man coverage and a lot of doubling of Victor and Hakeem, and basically said you got to win somewhere else. And it got even more radical at the end, where they just, you know, looked like punt, you know, where you're punting, and they got viced up on Vic, and that's when really Jake Ballard made two great big plays for us that enabled us to come back and win the game. The second game, they decided they still played man, but not nearly as much. The percentage wasn't, and the doubling when they played man was the same, but it was a much, much lower percentage, and it was much more zone and then more conservative approach and let those great pass rushers, if you can hold the ball a little bit, they've got some tremendous, tremendous pass rushers that maybe they can get to the quarterback and have some success that way. We started off the game, we played great, but then we slowed down the third quarter, and it looked like their approach was winning, and we were only up 21-14. I don't know if you remember, then we made the big catch, and that changed it, you know, the momentum again and brought it back to our side. But it was looking like maybe that different way of going about defending us was working, because we didn't do much the third quarter.
Coach, can you talk about the job Sean Locklear has done at left tackle I know Beatty just got back,
yep.
and Brewer's been in and out. Can you talk about those guys as well?
Yeah, yeah. Sean's, I won't say a surprise, but he's been what we hoped. You know, he you bring him in here, hopefully he's going to be your third, and he's going to be your swing tackle. With William out the entire preseason, all of a sudden he moved up to the starting position, and has played real well. You know, he hasn't hurt us in the pass game at all. His protection's been excellent. He's been one of the better performers in his pass protection. He's still learning some of the things with the run game the way we do it, so I think he'll get better and better. But, he's been a bona fide pro. I mean, we haven't fallen off, because when we've erred, it's not been something that he did that hurt us. So I've been very, very pleased with him. Obviously, William coming back is a huge factor for us to have some depth and then, you know, play it out. This is like, I hate to say it, but it's like his first exhibition game. But, you know, of course, except it's for real. And so you're going to be tentative watching how he plays watching him today. He was excellent in practice, and he volunteered to do some scout work so that he could get some quality work against OC and those guys. And he looked pretty good. So that was an encouraging sign. And then James Brewer's just been in and out and hurting. So, you know, we'll see where he's at health-wise before we make any decisions.
Did you guys ever consider flipping Lockbeer and Deal?
We did. We did, very much so. But, you know, right now, again, Sean's playing very well. So, you know, he's been really as good as anybody we've had, pass pro, up there. And that way we can protect, you know, to the other side. And we've been doing that.
Third game of the preseason looked like, you know, you're finding a running game. Wilson was running very well. And then the last game.
Right.
I mean, do you have any idea what you're going to get on?
Well, I mean, something we've been striving to get. There's no question about it. And we got a couple big runs, which was encouraging. But there really wasn't the rhythm that you're looking for. We got it the second half with the second group, but we didn't get it with the first group. But what they were doing defensively in the beginning of the game, they're basically challenging the throw. And we had some opportunities and misfired on a couple of, you know, the third and short. We did two cracks and where we're trying to seal everybody off and get outside, and we didn't get anything. We lost yardage. So we never I never felt like we got in a rhythm with the first group. So we were very disappointed in our performance. I know all of us were. We had hoped to come out of feeling really good. Okay, we're right where we need to be, and exactly the opposite, you know, happened. But I just think it was one of those days we just didn't make enough plays. Usually with the first group, at least the way we've been, knock on wood, sooner or later we get it going, and they've been very, very resilient, and we've come back from whatever the circumstances, and I would believe that would have happened in that game. But, you know, you only had one quarter and you were done. So it was disappointing the way we played last week.
Again, that's offensive coordinator Kevin Gilbride, and you heard, Paul, some really positive things to say about the offensive line and Sean Locklear. I thought it was an excellent question that was asked. Have you considered moving David Deal to left tackle and have Sean Locklear play right tackle, which is a position he's played probably the majority of his career. And Kevin Gilbride said, well, we've thought about it, but no, we're not going to do it because Sean Locklear has just been that good at practice in this preseason.
Well, the other reason they can do that, too, is because David Deal's played everywhere along the offensive line. And, you know, it's not like they're hurting themselves putting him over on the right side either. You know, Deal had to make that switch from the left tackle spot this past offseason.
Again, 201-939-4513. We're going to take your calls. Also, monitoring all things social media, Twitter, and this is Big Blue Interactive. Paul, will the Giants have a veteran on speed dial after the first game to sign in place of Petras so that the salary will count on a per-game basis rather than for the entire year?
Well, see, what the caller's alluding to, Anita, you know, there's that rule in the league that if you sign a guy before opening day, he gets the guaranteed year's salary.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of teams will wait until after that first game is played because they want to be able to sign a guy without guaranteed money. It helps their salary cap out if for some reason they've got to get rid of him. I get that. I would say this. If the Giants really felt that there was another offensive lineman out there that they could scap up, they probably would have tried to sign him by now. Now, we know they tried to get DJ Jones off the waiver wire, and he failed his physical, and so he's gone. I don't necessarily know if there's anyone out there that's so attractive that the Giants are itching to pick him up. I think it's going to be a wait-and-see thing over the first couple of weeks of the season. And maybe Mitch Petras is lucky in that he's getting a second chance. And after two promising seasons as a backup, he had a very poor preseason and found himself cut. This new chance, or this renewed chance at making this team, may be something that he needs to get his act together.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Liam. Liam in New Jersey. Welcome.
Hi, everybody. Happy Labor Day. I just have a question about Mitch Petras.
Are you old enough to work, by the way?
No.
I didn't think so.
Oh, no. No.
But thank you. Go ahead.
All right. So how do you think Mitch Petras' confidence is affected by him getting cut than him re-signing?
Well, you know, that could go two ways, Anita. It could either destroy the kid because, and I call him a kid, he's only been in the league 3 years. It could really just hurt his confidence, or it could make him work harder and make sure that he gets, like I said, gets his act together. I'd like to believe the latter because you and I have both watched him play. He added a lot of feistiness and punch to that offensive line, helped the running game out when he was in there the last couple of years. And quite honestly, he's a good guy. You know, you like to see these guys succeed.
201-939-4513. Anita Marks, Paul Dottino, you are listening to Big Blue Kickoff Live on a Labor Day Monday as the Giants get ready to take on the Dallas Cowboys. We're coming to you live from the facility. Jose from Florida wants to talk about the defensive line. Jose, welcome.
Hey, how you guys doing? I was hoping that maybe you guys could be able to shed some light on the defensive tackle position. I know Candy's been injured, Austin's been injured, and now they've got Kuhn backing up Bernard and Joseph. Wondering if it's been considered to rotate Justin Tuck, maybe Kiwanuka into relieving those guys as the game draws on. What type of cycle or rotation they're going to have for the defensive tackle position. Some of those guys don't weigh as much run stuffing. Are they just going to look for the linebackers to help out a lot more in the absence of Canty and Austin?
Great question.
It is a great question. And, Anita, it wasn't something I thought a lot about until the final cuts came out. And I saw that Austin was on the 53, and it doesn't look like he's going to necessarily be available for Dallas. And I started thinking to myself, okay, if they only have three defensive tackles available for the game, how are they going to deal with this? And then it started to click in this past week. Well, you know what? They can slide Tuck in there. They can slide JPP down into there. They can slide Kiwanuka into that line. And when they do that, you know, when Kiwi's up there, Keith Rivers comes into the game. That's not such a bad thing, is it?
No. No, not at all. And I believe Perry Field was asked about that. And especially when they bring in that NASCAR package that everybody likes to talk about, pretty much that's Tuck's role. That's his role in that NASCAR package. He goes from an end to a tackle.
So, I mean, there are a certain number of snaps per game where the Giants will slip and slide guys down. And the other thing, too, not that I think it's going to happen necessarily, but if they're really in a pinch, Ajomo played the three technique defensive tackle spot at Miami. So it's not like, you know, he's going to be a fish out of water if they ask him to do it for a few plays.
Let's go to Enoch calling in from Long Island. Wants to talk about special teams. We really haven't talked about special teams today, so I'm excited about this call. Enoch, welcome.
Welcome. Hi. I want to talk about the special teams and how they've gotten a lot better, and I wanted to mention two names that I think really, really make this happen. The first name is Steve Weatherford. Without him, I think that our special teams wouldn't be as good. And a veteran who left the Giants, I want to know who has replaced him, is Devin Thomas.
Well, Weatherford clearly is a very surgical punter. And I just, how can you not just love the job that he's done for this team? So, yes, I agree with you there. Devin Thomas, you know, didn't really produce much on kickoff returns when he was here with the Giants. Did a better job on getting downfield as a gunner. Now, at this point, the Giants are still trying to figure everything out in terms of they just finalized their 53. And a lot of the guys who did not make the 53 were playing special teams coverage units during the preseason games. So I'm a little curious to see, you know, what that's all going to shake down with once they get to opening day Wednesday night against Dallas, and who establishes themselves over the first few games as the best coverage guys on the kick units. I don't think right now I could give you that because I need to wait and see. We know that Chase Blackburn's going to be there. We know Mark Herzlich is going to be there. Those guys are terrific special teams players. You know, Tyler Sash was a good special teams guy too, but he suspended for the first four games.
Right. All right, well, I'm being told, got to go to Joe, and wants to talk about the safeties. Joe, I was told, I got to go to you. I got to go to you now.
Yeah, hello.
Hi.
Hello, Joe.
Hi, Joe.
How's it going, Mrs. Gino? How are you?
I'm okay. How are you? Say hello
can't
to Miss Marks.
Can't complain, man. Hey, listen, you know, I want to talk about Tyler Durden, and the performance enhancing, you know, substances that he be on.
Okay. Well, you got to turn down your computer. Come on now, Joe.
I'm sorry. Hey, turn down the volume over there, man. Turn down the volume. I'm talking to Joe.
Okay, Joe, go ahead. Real quick, what do you got?
You know, I mean, you know, it's kind of sad, you know, that Tyler Sash is, you know, he got caught taking this stuff. And, you know, sometimes you want to give these guys the benefit of the doubt. You know what I mean? Because there is a track record. You know, of these guys, you know, doing these things. So, you know, the first thing we want to do is to jump out and believe that, you know, they guilty. But the man, I think he has some ADD issues because that's why he's taking the Adderall. You know what I mean? Just speak a little bit on that, Mr. Tino.
Joe, the only thing I would tell you is that, yes, Tyler Sash said that it was Adderall that he believes failed him on the PED test with the league. And he did have an appeal. He was denied. He got to sit in with Commissioner Goodell and plead his case face-to-face, mano-a-mano. And Commissioner Goodell said, I'm sorry, but the four-game suspension holds. Who am I to dispute the commissioner or what was said in that room? Obviously, Tyler Sash is sorry for it. It's regrettable. He realizes that next time he's going to be a heck of a lot more careful with taking anything that, you know, even could be possibly on the NFL's banned list, and we move on from there. There's really nothing else to say.
201-939-4513 is the phone number. Paul, some other things that I do want to talk about that I think are going to be interesting storylines going into Wednesday's matchup, and that is the cornerback position. Prince Omukamara, high ankle sprain, did not practice yesterday. The expectation is that Michael Coe will start at that corner spot. I know that you're a big fan of his. He has had a good camp.
Yeah.
Your thoughts on Michael Coe?
Michael Coe is a tall, rangy corner that's got good length, and Kenny Phillips said yesterday that he thought flat out Michael Coe had the best camp of anyone in the secondary, and that goes back even to the spring camp before they got to Albany. He thought that Coe covered very, very well. He was always around the ball, showed anticipation. Coe himself says, now that he's been here for a couple of years, and this is his third season with the Giants, that he feels the most comfortable he's ever felt here, and that has raised his confidence level and allowed him to play better and faster. Well, the Giants are going to find out Wednesday. I mean, We need to see him in a regular season game. Remember, Michael Coe's been around now. This is, I believe, his third team. He's been with the Colts and the Jaguars and the Giants, and I believe it's his fourth or fifth season in the league. He's never started a regular season game before.
Well, I had an opportunity to talk to him, and he said what he did this offseason is that he really sat down and just digested this Perryfield defense and the system. And we hear it from guys time and time and time again, Paul, and that is when you know the system. We've seen it with JPP. When you know the system and you don't have to think so much and you can let your athleticism kind of just play through and be in the forefront as opposed to, like, mentally playing the game first and then physically – that's when you shine. So, you know, apparently that's what he did this offseason is just become a student of Perryfield's system. Let's go to Long Island, Paul. We have Mike. He wants to talk about Petras. Mike, welcome.
Hi, how you guys doing today?
Welcome.
Yeah, I'm on an island here with a bunch of Jet fans, but I'm a Giant fan.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
No, actually, there's a lot of Giant fans here. But anyway, I want to ask you about Mitch. You know, I really like this guy. He's a tough guy. I remember one of the games he played in last year. He was called on, and he had to play immediately while he didn't think he was going to play, and he did a great job. Now, I know he has problems in pass protection, but he's a good run blocker from what I can see. But how do you get this guy to come back in here after you cut him? You know, I know he needs a job, so that's a good thing, but How do you deal with this guy now?
You deal with it by saying, Mitch, you didn't do enough to make this team out of the get-go. You had a very suspect preseason. We know you're a better player than that. You now have a second chance. Most people don't get a second chance with the same team. They get cut. They got to latch on to somewhere else after making a ton of phone calls and hope that the new coaching staff likes him as much as you did and gives him a legitimate shot. Well, you know what? He's really, 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 really lucky to get another shot here with coaches who know him, who like him, and who would like to see him do well. And you say, Mitch, come on now. Don't screw this up. That's what you do.
How many times was Perilou cut?
13 times.
Yeah.
Off and on the practice squad last year.
Let me tell you something. Look. You get that phone call, no hard feelings. I'm back. I want to play football. I want an opportunity. I want a chance. And I want to be on somebody's roster. So, as disappointing as I'm sure it was for him to get cut, as soon as he gets that phone call, Mitch, we need you back, he's probably out the door before he even brushes his teeth.
Yeah.
201-939-4513. We are going to hear from the leader of this defense. That's Justin Tuck. He did address the media yesterday.
We got a lot of stuff going on there, trying to figure out what kind of looks we're going to get. But I think for the most part it is getting into the game and kind of feeling your way through it in the first couple of series with them. You got a new offensive line coach, Callahan, that was with the Jets, so we can kind of look at some of the things Jets did to us last year and things of that nature. Some of the guys we know very well, some of the guys we don't know at all. So I think for the most part it's going to come down to just plan our keys early in the game, make sure you play everything straight up, and trying to get a feel for them early in the football game.
What's the key to disrupting Romo out there?
Disrupting him? I mean, it's no key. It's just, getting out there. And that's with any quarterback. If he's allowed to sit in the pocket, he can pick you apart. And for the most part, he's pretty good when he rolls out and he can prolong plays, too. So, we just got to get hits on him, make sure that he doesn't get opportunity to settle in. We don't necessarily know if Romo's playing, but I know that's a huge safety blanket for him. So, that'll go a long ways to just making it a little bit more uncomfortable out there and giving us maybe he holds the ball a little bit longer and maybe gives us a little bit more time to get after him. But, biggest thing is probably stopping the run. Making sure he doesn't have that as a crutch, and pinning everything on him, which he still can make you look real bad when it's all on him and he's just throwing the football, but that gives us a fighting chance.
Justin, would you agree that last year, just right at the end, was the only time where the three of you defensive ends were really healthy together?
Yeah, absolutely, no question.
The last little bite of games that you played.
Pretty awesome. I mean, pretty obvious and awesome for that matter. it's just tough to get us all three on the field healthy. And I think those last games you saw us was us playing at the at the height of what it could have been the entire year. So hopefully we get that for 16-plus games this year and not have to, you know, have guys in and out, like, you know, especially how all was last year.
Because of that, I mean, you really think that you guys can get the ground running now? You know, OC's no issues. I don't think any issues. JPP, no issues.
I think so. I hope so. I mean, we definitely are shooting for that and getting off to a fast start, especially with our D-line. Everyone knows that when we play well, this team, this defense plays well. So a lot of pressure's on us, but we like it that way. And, you know, hopefully we can set the tone early.
Again, that was defensive captain Justin Tuck, and really the leader of this defense and arguably the leader of one of the best defensive lines in all football, Paul.
You could make a very strong case that JPP, OC, and Tuck could combine for 40 sacks just among the three of them. You really could. I mean, these guys have all been accomplished double-digit sack monsters during their career.
I meant to ask you this, and I'm sure it's no, because I know you don't really watch a lot of TV, but Lawrence Taylor was on First Take last week. Did you catch any of it?
Did
you hear anything about it?
No.
He was fantastic. He was asked about the way the style of the game is today. And who kind of exemplifies who? What player today kind of plays in his style or resembles him? He said Jason Pierre-Paul. He said, "I love this kid. I love this young man. He's just a great football player." They asked him about concussions. He's like, "Are you kidding me?" He said, "Harry Carson played with a concussion every day."
I know. and you can remind him too.
He said Harry Carson practiced and played with a concussion every day. The two more things that I thought was really interesting that Lawrence Taylor did share on First Take, and that is he was asked about the athletes today, the players that play in the NFL today that, you know, athletically they're far superior than when he played. And he said, well, when I played, the money that's available to NFL players was not there. If you were a great athlete, you went to the NBA. The NBA is where the money was. If you could play basketball, you can be like a real strong power forward. That's where you went, and that's where you made your money. He said today, because of the money that's available to these NFL players, now you've got some of the best athletes wanting to be football players because they can make money here. That was interesting. And then the last thing they asked him, they said, well, do you think that the game has gotten weak? Do you think with the rules and everything that, you know, it really benefits the offense? And he's like, let me tell you something. He said, if some little cat who runs a 4.2 or a 4.3 is running at me, and I know that I can't tackle him, the only way I could tackle him is grab him by the horse collar and pull him down, I'm going to do it. He's like, I'm not going to let some little 4.2, 4.3 guys score on me. He's like, so I'd probably get penalized. I'd probably get fined. I'd probably be Roger Goodell's worst enemy. I'm not going to let someone run by me and score. I'm going to horse collar tackle them. Anyway, it was just great, you know, because it's such, you obviously have been covering the NFL a lot longer than I have, but you know, I started watching the NFL in the mid 70s and, you know, grew up with like the Steel Curtain and Lambert and Ham and Franco Harris and Mean Joe Green and those guys, because I was a big Pittsburgh Steeler fan when I was younger. But, you know, it's such old school football, and it was just really great to see him on there and to hear him talk about football that way. And if you have an opportunity, go to YouTube for Giants fans out there. You know, if you have an opportunity, go to YouTube at some point today or tomorrow and search for it. It was because I know he did his rounds on ESPN, but this is when he was on First Take, and his answers were really good and they were really entertaining. It kind of brought me back.
You know, what was cool about Lawrence, Anita, was that, you know, he was obviously one of the great linebackers in this team's history, but he kind of passed the torch a little bit to Jesse Armstead, who is still here with the Giants as kind of an assistant coach consultant, in terms of the kind of old school mentality and the rabid dog mentality of playing defense. And I saw a lot of Lawrence in Jesse. And then I saw some of that, too, in Michael Strahan. And a little bit of that in JPP. It's amazing how, you know, guys just stick with you, their demeanor and their mentality and how they approach the game. Lawrence is the greatest defensive player that the NFL's ever seen, period. And I will not move off of that fact ever.
201-939-4513. Paul, we've got just about 5 minutes left in the show. Let's try to get in as many calls as we can. We go to Marie, calling in from Manhattan, wants to talk about the rookies. Marie, welcome.
Oh, thank you. First of all, let me just say, I'm pretty much just as excited to hear Anita Marks and Paul Dottino back on air together that I am for the Giants opening game on Wednesday. Just have
Pauly.
To say, yeah,
Pauly has a fan.
You're very kind. You're very kind.
What are the expectations for rookies Wilson and Randall in, I mean, A, the season opener, and B, you know, a huge division rivalry? And how much playing time do you think Wilson and Randall will get?
You know, that's a great question, Marie. Thank you so much for calling in. You know, these are rookies entering their – not only is it their first NFL game, Paul, but it's their first NFL game against the Dallas Cowboys. You know, there's a different energy level. It's an NFC East opponent. I mean, this is their first taste of game time electricity, and it's against – I mean, could you ask for a better first opponent?
No, and it's interesting because I asked Wilson that in the locker room yesterday. I said, what have the guys told you about your first regular season game because you were so nervous about playing in your first preseason game?
Right, right, right.
And he said, well, you know, obviously they told me the tempo and the speed and everything. You got to be up for it. I said, all right, but what about the danger of being too up for it? And he said, well, I think if I know everything that I'm supposed to do, I think I'm going to be okay. But I think he's going to be a little nervous, especially for the first couple of carries. Randall is a very interesting case. You know, he was a second-round pick out of LSU. Morris Claiborne comes out of LSU, first-round pick of the Cowboys,
right.
Corner. He and Randall apparently had some great battles in college, and they were roommates, as a matter of fact, during Randall's freshman season. I think that's going to take some of the edge off for him, because if he does get out on the field, even though he may not be matched up against Claiborne, I think the fact that he's going to see him across the line at some point, or at least sees him on that other defense, that's going to occupy his thoughts probably a little bit more than the nervousness that he might have otherwise.
How cool is this about Claiborne? At practice, at camp, whenever the corners have to go up, you know, they do those drills where corners have to go up against the wide receivers.
Yeah.
Whenever it was Dez Bryant's turn to go up, he would butt everybody in line. Like the only wide receiver he wanted to cover.
I didn't hear that.
The only wide receiver he wanted to cover at drills was Dez Bryant. So whenever Dez Bryant was at the line during those drills, he would cut everybody, and that's who he'd want. That's the only.
That's
wide,
good stuff,
isn't it?
Yeah, I like
so,
that.
So, but yeah, I'm interested. I'm excited about that matchup, and I'm interested to see what happens when Randall is on the field.
Yeah, I think that'd be very cool. And I will tell you, Ruben has already told the Giants receivers about Claiborne and about how strong he is physically, about how deceptive his strength is, and about how he loves grabbing and clutching in that press coverage at the line of scrimmage. Randall said, if he gets his claws on you right at the line, forget about it. You're not going to be able to break free and run your routes. So you need to make that initial move to get away.
Well, now that Hakeem Nicks is so buff.
And Victor Cruz a little bulked up there, too.
This is Tony calling in from New Jersey. Tony, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Oh, thank you. First of all, let me tell you, I look for Giant information, and you folks give it. I think it's great. I can't get enough of it.
Thank you.
My question, what has happened to Ryan Perillo? I don't see him on the roster, and I don't see him being cut. Where is he now?
No, right now he doesn't have a job. Whether or not he comes back here to the practice squad remains to be seen, or whether he signs with another NFL team. I know he's improved since he's been here with the Giants, but not enough to unseat David Carr as the number two. And quite frankly, Tom Coughlin's only going to keep two quarterbacks. That's the way he operates his roster.
Let's go to Dana in Yonkers. She wants to talk about Prince Amukamara. Dana, welcome.
Hi, Anita. How are you?
Fantastic. Thanks for joining us.
Good. Thank you. Thanks for having me. Hi, Paul.
Hi.
Hi. Listen, my fiance and I are sitting here because we're just diehard Giant fans, like really, 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 really diehard.
Well, that's a good thing.
Possibly.
I'm so glad that neither of you are fans of the Cowboys or the Jets. This is a good dynamic.
We're not allowed to use that word, and we're not allowed to buy anything green during the season.
I think the marriage is going to work just fine.
We have a quick question. I know the show's almost over. Even before this recent injury with Prince, I just feel like I didn't hear enough about him. Being our first round draft pick, there's no talk, even good or bad. I don't hear any of the coaches talking about him. I just don't feel like he has that it factor. Like, I always feel like he needs a push.
Well,
I just wanted your opinion on him.
To be fair, you know, he got hurt in his first practice as a rookie. broke his foot, missed half the season last year, came back, his confidence was hurting, didn't play very well, got benched, comes back this year, basically, you know, after having, a suspect rookie season, trying to build his confidence, and what happens? He goes out and gets hurt again. It's a tough deal. I mean, I don't know what exactly you want to hear about him other than Jerry Reese, who said, I want him to play like a number one draft pick. We need him to play like a number one draft pick. Well, you know what? That still holds true. When he gets over his injury, they're going to need him to get into that lineup ASAP.
You know what I find interesting about Prince, and this is something that I think needs to change, and hopefully it'll change in time. It's somebody's personality. But when you look around the NFL, the diva positions are wide receivers and corners. Sure. They're the diva positions. Prince is not a diva.
No.
Do you know what I mean? There's no like when Roll or Webster or Kenny or just when they walk in the locker room, they walk. There's swagger there. There's look. No one's gonna beat me. I'm the best at my game. It's that kind of swagger. I don't see that from Prince. And I know it's a personality thing, but I think that's something that you need to have in order to play that position. And that's something that I think once he gets on the field and he starts seeing some productivity at the NFL level, hopefully that'll develop. But for me, that's one of the biggest things. He needs to carry himself. He needs to build that Prince swagger. He doesn't have it right now.
I'm totally on board with everything you just said, Anita. Right now he's got that high ankle sprain, which apparently is healing a lot quicker than some people thought it would. So the sooner he gets out there, the better. And that's when he's got to start developing the confidence to do exactly what you've just suggested.
He's Paul Dottino. I'm Anita Marks. I want to thank Melroy and Nile and all everybody here who works on putting all these fantastic shows together here on Giants.com. Again, practice today at 11:30. Tom Coughlin will talk to the media. Players availability later on. We'll have all those interviews on Giants.com. We'll have our end of the day report as well. And I believe, is John Schmoke on tomorrow? Are you guys on tomorrow? I believe John Schmoke will be in tomorrow. And then don't forget, Wednesday, all day.
I'm blowing it out, baby.
Yeah. I mean, you want to stay tuned. Also, really excited, our Giants MSG pregame show. Giants opening drive live starts at 5 o'clock. The whole gang. Bob Papa, Carl Banks, Harry Carson.
Us.
Myself and Paul Dottino. I'm really excited. They added a fantasy football segment this year.
Yeah,
so
I know.
That's right up my alley.
Oh my goodness! Don't you beat up on enough of people around the country without having to beat us up here?
Well, we are going to have a fantasy football, right? We're going to have Stay tuned. We're going to have a fantasy football competition for our Giants fans and our listeners this coming season. So a lot happening. Stay tuned to Giants.com. Have a great day, everybody.